Okay, so today is the Friday, the 31st of January, 2020. Calendar was taken away, so I forget what day it is in the Hebrew calendar, but we are up to Halacha Day of Perek Yud Beis. So the Pasuk says in Pasuk Dalid, after listing off the things that you're going to have to go into Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to have to destroy all the Avodah Zarah, and all of the trees, and all of the idols, and all of the altars, and everything that's there, the Pasuk then says, Lo tasu kein l'Hashem elokeichem, that you shouldn't go ahead and do this to Hashem, your God. So after it mentions the idea of destroying Avodah Zarah, it then lists off this idea that you shouldn't do that to Hashem. So what is included in that? So the Rashi himself points out, and then this is also this got learned out in the Gemara itself deduces this. This includes the prohibition, the idea of Mechikas Hashem. This is from the Gemara in Shavuos Daf Lamed Hey, that there are names of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and you're not supposed to, you're not permitted to erase the name of Hashem. So it sounds like that would then be an Isser D'Oraisa. So the and it could be that doing so would be an Isser of Makos. There's a bit of a Machlokas there. In fact, the Or HaChaim, with regards to the issue of whether one gets Makos on it or not, so the Or HaChaim on the Parsha, as part of his Perish on the Chumash, actually mentions a dispute. He talks about that according to that that we seem to be including. That Rashi adds in from the Pasuk, not only is the name of Hashem, but also any suffixes would also be included in that. So if it said Elokeichem, so to erase the Chaf or the Mem, that would also then be a violation of this din. But you wouldn't get Makos on that. Why would you not get Makos on that? Because that's only deduced. That's only what we call a Lav Shebechlalos, as opposed to the word itself. That would then be an Isser D'Oraisa. So a couple of issues with regards to that. Number one, mentioned the other day, I remember if you were here, but my nephew is a sofer, got an order from somebody who wanted to buy all mehudar mezuzahs, but he wanted them to be put mixed in, he wanted them to fit the cases he already had. So some of the cases he already had were the 7-centimeter cases, which are pretty small. They're very difficult to even get a kosher mezuzah, much less a 7 centimeters. That's the
10 centimeters to make.
10 centimeters are the standard mezuzahs that we sell. The ones that the nice good ones that you see are usually 12 centimeters. The really nice ones are 15 centimeters, 16 inches, and 7 centimeters are like these small ones that are available.
Like 3 inches.
Yes, it is 3. Yeah, 3 1/4 inches, I believe. So those are challenging to make kosher. I would say of those that I get from probably 25% of those are kosher, but some of them don't even have a chance. But of those that, like, where you see the sofer knew what he was doing, there's usually a good chance that it is often not end up being a kosher mezuzah. This person wanted a mehudar mezuzah, which is even harder to do. So my nephew actually has a friend, a colleague, sort of specializes in writing really small things. Like, he wrote a Sefer Torah that was 10 centimeters, which is, yeah, pretty... My nephew sent me a picture of it, and, like, it looked like a Sefer Torah. I was like, okay, what's the big deal?
4 inches.
Yeah, right. I was like, what's the big deal? So then he put then he sent me another picture with a ruler next to it. Oh, now I understand what he was trying to point out. So of those mezuzahs that he made... So one of them had a letter that I think was the hay that sort of had like a little thing coming out of it, like a little sort of a small crown, not in the right spot, so which would make it not mehudar. It's the only problem. So what's the big deal? So just erase it. That's not a big deal, right? You're only allowed to not erase letters. So but if you're just adjusting a letter, that should be permissible. So he said, no, that's going to be a problem because you are erasing the name of Hashem. It is written as part of the letters. So it's considered the Shem Hashem. You want to erase it to make it mehudar? Who says you're allowed to do that? So he implied that that mezuzah would therefore not be any good. So the truth is, I've been wondering about that since, and the truth is the Minchas Chinuch at least seems to disagree with him based on this thing. So the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Taf Lamed Zayin Sif Gimel comments that Aval B'mecha Ktsas Min Ha'os V'Adayin Ha'os Nikar, that the only prohibition is if you erase the letter or you destroy the word so that it no longer can be read as that letter. Meaning you, it says Yud Kei Vav Kei, and instead you cut out the bottom of the Hei. So it says Yud Dalet Vav Hei. Right? So that would be considered Mechikas Hashem. That would be considered Sidoraisa, because you had the name Hashem and now you don't. But if you're just taking away a little bit of a letter and it's still the letter remains, for example, the letter is long or wide and you want to shorten it, but the letter, the Tzura Sa'os is always there, that's not considered Mechika, because the letter is still good, the word is still, Hashem Nikra Yafa, Mai Ichbatz. That's so long as the name of Hashem continues to be read, what do we care? Zelo Havi Ibud Klal, and that's not considered Ibud at all. Then he goes on and quotes the Mishnah Chacham that says that even the Kotsu Shel Yud, you would be Chayef, meaning this is a big, major issue, that, especially with the very small mezuzahs, right, that the Gemara says that these things have to be entirely kosher, Torah, Mezuzah, Tefillin, even the Kotsu Shel Yud. So what is the Kotsu Shel Yud? The point of the Yud. So what is the point of the Yud? So there's a three-way Machlokas Rishonim, what the Gemara means by the point of the Yud. One is that there's what we normally associate with the Yud, that there's sort of a small point down. That's one position. Another position is that there's a sort of a little point that comes out of the top left going up, which many Yuds have. And then there's the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam that refers to a point on the other side, on the left side, right? That when you have a Yud, so there's the side with the thing going down, there's supposed to be a little point on the other side. So the Rabbeinu Tam says that's Ma'akif, meaning that Gemara says the Kotsu Shel Yud has to be there. Rabbeinu Tam defines that as the Kotsu Shel Yud, and therefore it has to be this. That became sort of like the famous example of the Chumras of Stam, the Kotsu Shel Yud, that has to even have that. There is a play that was put out by Maskilim, a play or a poem or a short story, I want to say Bialik, but I'm not sure, that was entitled Kotsu Shel Yud, which was about a guy who refused to write a get for his wife, and they finally convinced him to write a get for his wife, and he wrote the get for his wife, and then he left town, and they discovered that the get was missing a Kotsu Shel Yud. And like, look how it was sort of mocking the religion that, look, because of this little point, this girl has to remain in a guna forever. So the whole thing halachically is difficult, right? Gittin, while they are written besafras, don't necessarily have to have all the chumras of writing that way. And second of all, usually the get is destroyed right away. As soon as the get is given, the get is destroyed right away and not looked at again, because we don't want to passel it up. But anyways, so that's the famous Kotsu Shel Yud. So it's always used as like the example. So the Mishnah Chachamim says that even the Kotsu Shel Yud would be chayiv. That even if you get rid of the Kotsu Shel Yud, that would be a violation of Mechikas Hashem. But he says, yeah, that's because it's no longer kosher. Meaning it's Yud Kei Vav Kei, but the Yud is no longer kosher anymore. So therefore, you have violated Mechikas Hashem. However, if you're just getting rid of something that would not destroy the letter, so therefore, that would not be a violation of Mechikas Hashem. So says the Minchas Chinuch. So I didn't have a chance to look around and see if there are other positions on this, if everybody agrees with Minchas Chinuch or not, but at least this could go ahead and allow one to save that Mehudr Mezuzah. Yeah, there's another interesting halacha that he quotes here along these lines, and that is that if the halacha tells us in Shulchan Aruch that if you want to write Yehuda is the word that you need, and instead of writing Yehuda, you leave out the Dalet, which means Yud Kei Vav Kei. So you spell the name of Hashem. So that's a problem. So what do you do? Meaning to try to get Yehuda in there, to change it, to put a Dalet in there, so that would be a violation of destroying Hashem's name. So you shouldn't be allowed to do that. So what do we do? So Shulchan Aruch says, Yitla hadalad lamala v'kasher. You can actually put the dalad on top of it, and it would be kasher, because you'll know what it means. You'll know how to read it that way, and therefore it would be okay. So therefore, if you write the name Yudke, so if you write the name, because of dalad lamala, that's like, but then he says you have another problem. Right? Because if you had the name of Hashem, so very good, so you put the Dalet on top of it so you could read it as Yehuda. But you've still violated Mechikas Hashem because it used to be read as Hashem, and now you're reading it as Yehuda. So isn't that then a violation? So Minchas Chinuch says, no, Achba Emes De'eno. He says, I don't think so. Lo mi bai de chi of leka, kevin de'eno osa maisa b'guf Hashem. You didn't do anything to the name itself. right? And there's not even an iser because that tuluyin mitzdarfin lahachshir velo lifsel. Because by hanging it on top, you're making a kosher sefer Torah as opposed to a pasul sefer Torah, which perhaps is a chakir in this entire thing, right? Is the iser mechikas Hashem no matter what? If you're destroying the name of Hashem, that's totally prohibited, or it's considered a bizayon to the name of Hashem. In which case, if we're going to say no, you can't add the dalet on top, and you have to leave it as yud kei vav kei. So guess what's going to happen to that piece of ksav, right? It's going to end up in the geniza, right? At best, right? It'll end up in the geniza. This way, at least, it will be used. So Midrash Chinuch suggests that that would be permissible to do, to add the dalet on top. You'll leave the name of Hashem intact, but you'll just be reading it as Yehuda. So those are two interesting stam issues revolving around the issue of Mechikas Hashem. The additional issue of Mechikas Hashem, which is perhaps more prominent and most out there and most pressing and really a challenge, really becoming more and more of a challenge for shuls and rabbanim and everybody, is the source of the issue of Sheamus, the issue of putting things into Sheamus.
Where do you get rid of it?
Right. How do you get rid of all of that stuff? Right. Anything that has the name of Hashem. It sounds like not just the name would be included in this. And then there's an initial issue of anything that has Divrei Torah. If it's Divrei Torah, so then it's out there. So in the day nowadays where you can print out all these parsha sheets and you get all these newsletters and all of the workbooks that come to shul. So what do you do with all these things? So there are some enterprising young people who've made a business out of this. They collect it. And what do they do with it? I don't know. I have no idea what happens to all that stuff when the Sheamus truck comes.
You have a friend with a farm. You have a friend with a farm. He digs a big pit.
Okay. I mean, he digs for himself.
Yeah.
He's not selling it. He's not giving it out to...
You have a contact that has access to...
Right. So that's how you do, like, one person at a time. Right, but to really on a mass scale get rid of all this stuff, it becomes a major issue. So you could be, I mean, there are people that are really on top of it. My parents' shul, so there was the caterer, Abi Feld, who had all these boxes, and he also operated in the shul. And he was also involved, I'm not sure, the Chevra Kadisha, but he was involved with making sure the funerals, everything worked out okay. Like, that was sort of the chesed that he did. Made sure all the shivim and yanim, canceled all that kind of stuff. So at every funeral, he'd show up, he would be on top of it, he would, you know, he had extra boxes, so he would keep these boxes filled. And every time there was a funeral, he'd show up with eight boxes, put them in, and they were these brown boxes that were not obvious what was going in. And he would just put them in, And it would be taken care of that way. But that takes a good boxes to use for this, and it takes the organization to be able to do this. So I've done it a little bit. Sometimes have brought boxes and stuff to funerals, but it often doesn't practically work out very well. So what do we What do we do with all this stuff? So the main question. So I don't think the question is. With revolving around Svarim, it's not as big a deal, although it is still a big deal because Svarim are constantly being enhanced and being changed. What do you do with old Svarim? So in the Piskei Tshuvos here, he actually quotes from that the Mishnah Berurah says, Mishnah Berurah in Simen Kufnun Dalad Sif Chaf Beis, that's where this stuff is, that's where this discussion is held. And he says, other Svarim Shabalu Tzarech L'Gonzan. That Svarim, Sifrei Kodesh, Sifrei Torah, not Sefer Torahs, but Sifrei Svarim that have Torah in it, that have become Shabalu, that have become... What? Not puzzle isn't really a good word. Beat up, sorry, that's a good term. So, tzarech l'gonzon, so those need to go into geniza. So this is, then he suggests a very big chumra here. He says the Mishnah Berurah, that's a dispensation only if they're beat up svarim. But that's not often what's happening to our svarim today. Nowadays, right, you have an old set of Ritva, and then you get the new Moshe Rav Kook edition of Ritva with all the footnotes and the fancy and the misprint, and the new printed. It gets rid of all the things that are the misprints and things like that. So that's what's going on. So what happened to the old Ritva? Well, I mean, it's still usable. It's as usable as it ever was. It just, you're not going to use it if you have the enhanced version available. So he says, but Sifrei Kodesh Shadayin Ru'uyim L'Mobahem that are still learnable, it's just you don't, Asur L'Gonza, you're not allowed to put them in Geniza. And even if the reason is because there's a new edition Uvaosius Meiros Einayim, with new letters that are, you know, beautiful to read, and it's menukad, there's nekudos in it, v'shuvin tzri, and you don't need the old svarim. Mikol Malkom came in shalom balu v'roy l'talmud lahem v'shleimim heim asur l'gonza. That you're not allowed to get rid of them. Rather, what do you do with them? You put them in some kind of closet. Great, if you have extra closets around, that's one. You put them to the side, you put them in some place to, you know, to stay. But you don't have the right to even put them in Geniza. That's his suggestion. I don't know if he... I don't see any... Yeah, he doesn't quote anybody here, Lakula, on that. I don't know. I'm not sure. Not sure what to do with that.
Very interesting topic.
Yeah, but the bigger issue is the letters and stuff. I mean, I'm wondering what's going to happen with these svarim. Not so much. I mean, one thing you think about, like yeshivas that sort of get rid of their large amounts. I'm sort of thinking about, you know, my grandfather lived in Borough Park, was a Talmud Chacham, learned Yomam V'Laila, and certainly towards the end of his life, and had one bookcase. Had his shas, had a couple of svarim after he passed away. So they, you know, my father sort of sent out an email to the grandchildren, me, you know, the parents there, what do you guys want? So I got a few, actually the chumash that I use every day is my grandfather's chumash, and a couple of other things, and other people took a couple of other things, and good, right? But I have, I think, eight full bookcases, at least, of svarim available. And it's not just me, right? I'm sure my kids will have the same thing, right? And you walk into any, I drop my kids off by Russi Weintraub every day, right? So she has in her basement all the bookcases of all the svarim that the kids have gotten for their bar mitzvahs, and they're all the same svarim. They all get the same thing. So what's going to be with all of these svarim? So I don't know. I mean, that's a major chumrah, meaning this is all of a sudden, say it's a person passed away. Okay, they're still usable svarim. You don't need them. Okay, right? You walk down in Eretz Yisrael, like you walk down the streets of Har Nof, and you could sort of see into people's like living rooms. Everybody has these massive bookcases filled with svarim. So what's going to be over the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years with regards to that din? I don't know. But the other issue, which is more pressing now, which you really see regularly, are the newspapers and things like that. So are newspapers considered geniza, considered what we colloquially call shemus, for the Divrei Torah it has. So first he says that if the main point is other things, and there's just sort of like a line of Torah put in to a larger article, so that doesn't count. That's okay. So long as it doesn't have the Shem Hashem, there might be people that are machbar on that, but that doesn't, one doesn't need to do that. He says, but if you're printing specifically Mamari Torah or Hashkaf or Musar or, I don't know, Stam Matters, articles on Mezuzah and Tefillin, things like that. So he says here, that would be Chayef for Geniza. And even if they're written in English, and there have been many who have complained about this, that those that print this, that they really shouldn't put in Divrei Torah, because it leads to a major Shemus problem, and technically you should go and cut all those things out if you want to get rid of the things. However, there are many who are makil on that. That's not really the main point of the save. I mean, can you bring it into the bathroom if it has Divrei Torah in it, right? That's sort of a shaila that's out there. There's room to be makel simply by saying that that's not really what you're bringing. Even if there is an article or two in terms of Divrei Torah and stuff, you can say, yeah, but that's batel barov. That's not really what I'm bringing. I'm really bringing in the newspaper. I'm not bringing in the Divrei Torah. But what about getting rid of it? Does that make it worse? So maybe it makes it worse. But however, there is a sugya, which I think is really sort of the way out of it. It's a little bit of a question about how far to take it. And that question came up already 100, 200 years ago with regards to the gilyonos, like the what are they called? The sort of the pre-printing things that came out, or they would, in order to get the amount of ink right, they would print a few things and see, make sure it was good, and then, right, so what do you do with all of that stuff? That question was raised already 200, 250 years ago, right, can we, what's the story there? And probably one of the main shuvos is that of a nitziv, where the nitziv said that you can get rid of this stuff. He says, even without a, so some suggested already that if you put a tanai on it at first, you put a tanai on it at first and say, I'm not imposing kedusha on this, one has the right to do that. The nitziv said, so long as it's obvious that you're not doing this to be a permanently printed sefer, you're doing this to test things out or to proofread, things like that. So the nitziv said, that doesn't have kedusha on it. However, so, and therefore one can apply that to many of these types of things. One could say that, that anything that is done for not for a permanent basis, but for a temporary basis, one has the right to perhaps say, based on this nitziv, that is not going to could be considered as attaining and having kedusha in it. Rather, it could be disposed of. So I've been told. I don't think I ever spoke with him directly about it. That Rav Shmuel is the biggest makel on this. Rav Shmuel, that every year at the Torah Masorah convention, somebody gets up and says, we have all these workbooks from last year, what do we do with it? Rav Shmuel says, you get rid of all of it. You can throw it all in the garbage. You don't have to worry about it based on this sugya, based on this idea. Now, he adds in the caveat here in the Sefer Pisgei Teshuvos, yeah, all that is only if it doesn't have the name of Hashem. If it has the name of Hashem, so one can, you can't rely on those mekilim for that. So I didn't hear that dispensation. So I did a little bit of Googling online, Googled Rav Shmuel Seamus, and there are other people, not necessarily officially, but there are others who quoted on various chat rooms about when this question is held, that, Rav Shmuel says that if it's not permanent, one can get rid of that. It's a recommendation of not putting it, not putting it directly in the trash, putting it in a bag and then getting rid of it. Meaning the issur is really mechikas Hashem. So you putting it in some kind of pointing out some amount of respect and putting it in the garbage, you're not doing any mechika, right? It's whatever happens. It's not going to be your issue. Someone else will be doing it. So many are makel based on this. I believe at Torah Academy, everything is just gotten rid of. I believe that is the psak. In Beth HaMedrash, that is also the psak. Now people don't like it. People are like hesitant to do it, so what I did was set up two Seamus boxes. One is for real Seamus, and one is for this other stuff. And the other stuff, so I just throw in the garbage myself. if no one else will. But I think it's becoming a bigger and bigger issue. And I'm not sure it's really covered. I'm not sure it's really covered on Mace. When I first started, it was all in one big Seamus thing. So I remember talking to Rabbi Eisenman about this. And I said, like, all right, I was going to collect some of it and put, bring it to the Levaya with me. But according to, if you're going to assume that it's really garbage, then how could you put it in, why would you bury somebody with garbage, right? That's not appropriate either. So I think you really need to make that distinction. And it's still, I think, an issue with regards to Sfarim and things that are printed permanently, like benchers. So benchers really are printed permanently. I don't think you can say that, they're meant for one-time use. So I'm not sure you could be makel with benchers, but with many other things, I think one has the right to be be makel. If you don't want to throw it out directly, at least put it in some kind of bag and then throw it out. But that should solve a significant amount of the issues, although the Sfarim problem will remain to need to be solved for another day.
Geometric.